Hey guys, welcome or welcome back to NYC Uncensored. My name's Annika and I'm joined by...
And this is Jashida, a year 9 student, and today I'll be discussing about how to cultivate self-discipline.
Yay!
Let's embark on a successful journey. There are 7 simple, straightforward ways, or you could say steps, to cultivate self-discipline. But do you know what the best version of yourself is? Nuh-uh, not the smartest. Or the strongest. Remember, it's the most disciplined version of yourself. I'm sure many of you have seen the video on social media about the guy rambling on, but sure. And over here, I have a quote said by Plato himself. He said that the first and best victory is to take control of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is so true.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to removing temptations or distractions in your life that you would like to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, step number one, know your weaknesses and strengths. Now, we all have weaknesses. I also have them too, actually quite a lot. But one to name is I love sweets and desserts. My mouth just drools the moment I look at them. And I just want to gobble it up. Mm-hmm. I just want to eat it up. Sometimes they don't appear in just areas of self-control. Rather, they just exist in us from various factors like your environment, the people that you surround yourself with, and society overall. Therefore, aim to take control of this. Rather than just staring at the piece of sweet that you truly desire, make it so that it's a reward after accomplishing a tedious task. That way, you accomplish your goals and treat yourself. It's pretty good. Make sure to not get too involved in this. You can group a few tasks together and then get a reward. So that way you treat yourself and kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, so that's like it's like. Not as like, oh, I do one thing and then I... Like, get the sweet treat, and then
exactly.
I do another thing, get the sweet treat. More like,
exactly.
Yeah, grouping it so it's like more of a bigger reward, and you're not kind of making it an unhealthy habit.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Or like, or it doesn't become like some sort of financial burden.
Yeah.
You just keep on buying stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not just sweets. You can choose anything that you love, such as eating food, or like a hobby, listening to your favorite song, etc. There's so many things.
Screen time, buying clothes, like so many things.
Exactly, there's so many other things you can choose from. It's not just sweets. This is your way of saying that you worked hard for it and that you deserve it. Probably every month, go out and eat or do something that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But please remember, the most important thing here is to be honest to yourself and to accomplish your goals truthfully and to grab that reward.
Yeah, because I think if you're not true to yourself, you're not, like, it's not hurting anyone else, it's hurting yourself. And
exactly.
I think everyone needs to kind of have a reward or something they can look forward to. And I think it's healthy to have, like, something that you would work yourself up to, like a sweet or even just buying something or a trip or something. I think that's very healthy. But yeah, I don't think you should lie to yourself about something. And you're not really cheating anyone else, you're cheating yourself. And I think that's very important to really, like, just take time and just understand that you are doing this for you, bettering yourself, and it's not really for anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. And also, self-awareness is another tool in your kit. You can use that to your advantage. How, you may wonder. I realize that most people succumb to their weaknesses, saying that's in, like, like they can't change that, it's inevitable. I listen to many of my friends complain that they can't do this and they can't do that, like this isn't meant for them. Change your mindset first. So what? Just because you're bad at something and want to become better at it, aim to be better. It doesn't mean that you're like that forever. You can change by owning up to your flaws. If I wanted to become a faster swimmer, for example, and do well in competitions, I would do workout plans in the pool, study techniques that utilize it in my swimming to make myself quicker so that I can do better. Enroll in lessons once or twice a week. You want to be better, so own up to it.
Yeah.
Know your strengths, but more importantly, own up to your flaws. You can't overcome them until you do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's a really big difference between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset is when you're like, you want to better yourself, but even when you've made a mistake, and I think it's such a human thing to make a mistake, have failures, but I think it's growing from those failures and being like, oh yeah, I have made a mistake, or this is not my biggest, like, or best moment, but growing from it and realizing, oh, this is how I'm gonna do better, and not really letting it weigh you down. Obviously, I understand that, like, sometimes if you don't get the desired mark you want or something, but you know you've put in effort, I don't think there's really any point reminiscing in the past where you could have put in more even if you could have put in more effort. But if you know yourself personally that you haven't put in enough effort, I think that's more of a learning curve type of thing, where it's like, oh, okay, next time I'll work on putting more effort in. If I really value school and if I really value getting the marks, then I know that this is what I need to do next. And if you have got a bad mark and you know you put in effort, maybe kind of reflect, did I study the right way? Am I helping myself in the right way? Because I know there are, like, I get a lot of, like, Instagram reels and stuff talking about the right way to study and the wrong way to study. And it's like, personally, I feel like I need to more look into that. I think that's like, I keep scrolling past them, but I'm like, oh wait, I wish I knew how to study. Because I know really good students, they kind of have the right study ways rather than just like studying 24/7. So it's like, yeah, definitely, like, understanding that everyone has flaws, everyone has made mistakes, but growing from it rather than letting it weigh you down is a really strong way of cultivating self-discipline. But yeah, we can move on to the next one.
Yeah, exactly. So now step number two is to, well, temporarily or permanently, to remove these temptations.
I'm really bad at that.
Yeah. If you wish to cultivate discipline rather than just covering it up by using rewards and motivation, out of sight and out of mind is a questionable yet powerful phrase that works really well. For example, if I wanted to stop eating too much of chocolate, get it out of your sight. If you want to eat healthier, toss the junk food. Do you want to avoid drinking? Throw that in the bin. Prioritize and execute on what you want to avoid. Of course, that might not work out every time. So another, like, alternative could be that you can slowly, like, reduce the amount that you're using. You want to eat healthy. Instead of eating fast food restaurants every day, reduce it to thrice a week. Then the next month, at least, like, once a week. And finally, once a month. And just, like, slowly change your diet.
I think it's very important to gradually do something rather than just eating immediately, just, like, taking it away, because it's never going to stick. If you don't, if you just, like, I think it's very important in general to, like, gradually work your way up to something, because I think the human body kind of just, it adapts to change, not that well. So I think you have to kind of work your way up to something. And obviously those things take time. And it's like, if you really want to better yourself. And I think that's why cultivating self-discipline is such a difficult thing to do, is because most people want to do it really fast, or they just want to seem better for a bit, and it's never going to really stick. But if you do it gradually, and it will work if you do it gradually and you really have that motivation, it will stick and you'll just be a better person in general, I think.
Exactly. Like what she said, your body can adapt better that way. And it doesn't seem that harsh on your body or mentality. But I would recommend the out of sight and out of mind method, especially if you want to get rid of it, like, really quickly, like, on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You may have to consult a professional for specific issues who can actually provide accurate advice. But all I can say right now is to prioritize what you want to execute and slowly start removing it from your life. I often hear it, but it's so true. Old habits die hard.
Yeah,
it
definitely. Really, I think especially with, like, phones and stuff, keeping, like, my phone away, or, like, removing any distraction is very, like, it's difficult to, like, do it, like, move it away. But once it's out of sight, out of mind, it's actually a lot easier personally for me to focus. And I think in general, like, how do you feel, like, if you take your phone away, is it, like, easier for you to focus?
It's actually way easier for me to focus.
Yeah, I think so. And it's like, when it's there, you just need to have it, or it's like, oh, let me do it. But even, like, personally, I think it's, I don't know if it's, like, me being lazy, but if it's, like, if it's not close to me, I'm like, oh, I'm not bothered to get it. I'll just do something. Yeah, I'll just study until I get bothered. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's very important to just, if you can identify that it's an issue, it's going to be an issue, then you just remove it and just take that temptation away, which is, yeah, definitely important.
Yeah, exactly. Now, step number three, to set clear goals and a plan to achieve them. Just like any goal, you must have a plan to accomplish them. Dividing them into smaller steps is so much better than tackling the large obstacle that's in front of you. For example, if I want to swim around 2 kilometers by the end of the month, let's just say that. A week before the month starts, use it to prepare a workout plan. For example, if I wanted to involve new techniques I'd like to, like, improve, and organize when you're going out for a swim. Let's just say that 3 days a week, 500 meter warm up, 550 drills, 10 times 8, like, whatever the drill set you guys do, and cool down will be at least 200 meters. First week, of course, you'll struggle. Trust me, it's painful. I have tried this workout before, and you don't see the results. You don't see the results at all. Second week, you see that you can handle some part of it, but you still have a really long way to go, in my opinion. Then the third week, you'll see that you can handle most of it. And finally, the last week, you can swim around 2 kilometers. And you feel so proud of yourself, and you'll start to realize that you can achieve brilliant things. It's just the distractions, temptations, and laziness just comes in the way. setting them into smaller steps, it seems easier to accomplish it rather than being overwhelmed mm-hmm. by how huge the task is. This can be applied mm-hmm. to any aspect of your life, mm-hmm. okay, not just swimming, but in academics too. Any assignment can be broken down into smaller sections that you yeah. can work on every day.
Yeah.
By keeping you on track, I use a mantra to emotionally stay connected mm-hmm. with the mission. Yeah, mm-hmm. I just say like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just keep a positive mindset and establish a clear finish line.
Yeah, and I think with setting goals, it's like if you don't really have a goal, then it's more like what are you working your way up towards, and it becomes like kind of messy and like kind of having a clear plan of your goal is kind of really important, because I know this quote where it's like, like a goal without a plan is more like a wish rather than an actual goal. And I think having steps working towards it is your plan, and it's what really executes what you want to achieve. And I know in general, if you just have this one goal you want to work up towards, it can be difficult because it might be a really big thing. But once you break it up into steps and have deadlines and timelines and understand like what things you can accomplish, it becomes a lot easier, I think, from a personal experience too. And I think definitely with what Jashida said about like assignments and stuff, I know a lot of people who just like postpone it or like procrastinate till the mm-hmm. last day, and then yep. they really kind of have a really messy schedule. And it's like, I know in junior high school and junior years of schooling, it's not really going to impact you that much, because I know that people can be they could be good at the subject and mm-hmm. that's why they're getting A's and stuff or high grades. But in senior high school and just in general, it's really bad to just have that type of to schedule and exactly. just like having something, just waiting for something to do something like a day or two before the mm-hmm. deadline. And it's yeah. really important to just have those steps. And it's not even just the fact that it's about academics and stuff. I think having those habits, setting goals and setting a plan to achieve it, is something that you can incorporate into anything in exactly. your life. Just what Jashida said. So it's just going to make you a better person in general. But mm-hmm. I think this topic, I think we've done the first three steps, and hopefully we can move on to the next two. But I think this can be the first series. Is there anything else you want to add for this first part of the series?
No, there's nothing else I'd like to add, aside from mm-hmm. the fact that we're going to do a second series.
Yep, a second part.
Talking yep. about the next four mm-hmm. steps next
so
time.
So stay tuned, guys. Bye, guys.
Yeah, peace out.
Bye.